Oh, man, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Acts chapter 1. It was interesting, I was preaching last night in Olean. And as I was preaching, I had the unction that I was going to be sharing this message tonight. And I just pushed it out of my head because we're in a series. This is supposed to be the second night of the series. And about 4 o'clock this afternoon, as I was just meditating on the word tonight that I thought I was going to share, it was clearly put on my spirit that we need to share that word Sunday morning. And it's the topic about talking about pride, but the direction that we're going to be going is about serving. And people need to step up around here. And people need to know who are serving that the great blessing that it is. And there are people that are doing some things and need to step up even higher and can do other things. Amen? We need more ushers. We need more people in the nursery. We need more children's church workers. We don't want the same people doing everything around here. And so we'll be preaching that Sunday morning at the leading of the Holy Ghost. And then, Lord willing, next Wednesday we'll finish the series up on pride. But I'm just going to obey the Holy Ghost. It works better that way. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 is where we're going to go. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1. Father, help us tonight. Lord, say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. Father, we're just vessels here to be obedient to you, Father. For we know when we obey you, when we hear from you and obey you, Father, the blessings do come. And Lord, that's what we want. We want to be blessed tonight. We're here. We came out on a Wednesday night. Some people worked all day and came right here after church and how much time. Some people may go home to work or get up real early and go back to work. But Father, they're here tonight, so bless them. Father, I thank you that you'll say through me exactly what needs to be said, Father. So give the people ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And I thank you, Lord, I'll hit bullseyes in every single person's heart, not because of my ability, but because of yours. And Father, we thank you for what we're going to receive tonight. I thank you that the word is preached with boldness and the word is preached with utterance tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's been a stirring in my spirit for this year and going forward in this church to talk more about a subject that sometimes is very taboo in the church world. And that subject is the subject of speaking in tongues. And it's important that we get heaven's take on things because whatever heaven wants is what we should want. Whatever heaven's thoughts are, that should be our thoughts. Whatever heaven's purposes are, should be our purposes. And so it's a subject that even in our circles that does talk about it, that does believe in it, it's still something that throughout a year, maybe you'll have a Holy Ghost baptism class once or twice, maybe you'll preach a series on it, but it's just not a topic that gets talked about a whole lot. And it's been stirring on my heart, and the Lord's shown me some things in the Word, maybe not anything brand new that we've never said or brand new revelation, but just a re-emphasis of, hey, this is not just something that's meant to be left on the shelf, and that's just something that, well, if a certain group of the real radical, wild, crazy Christians, if they partake in, no, this was something that was set forth and established in the beginning of the dispensation that we live in, which is the dispensation of the waiting, believing Jesus is going to return, and after he died and rose again, this was the first thing that Jesus emphasized that people need to go forward with. And so I believe his words and the language that he used should show us something. And then there's just some things I want to share tonight to re-emphasize this. For a couple things, and like I say, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't know what you're missing and what supernatural life that God has for you. And if you have been filled at one time, but you're not praying in the Holy Ghost, you're not filled anymore. You don't stay filled, you have to refill. You know, it'd be nice if our vehicles, you know, when you drive them off the lot, sometimes the dealers are nice and they fill them up for you. Man, it'd be nice if they just stay full. But they don't. You use them and they get empty and you got to recharge or replug in and re-tank and refill up. So we need to re-emphasize those things. And if you're not praying in tongues, you need to pick it up, praise God, because you're missing out if you don't. And so, but let's look at what heaven thinks about it, because you know, it's interesting. Remember the Florida vision that God gave me, where He put me behind three pulpits of three churches that are real churches. You know, they exist. I won't tell you what they are, just because I know I'm not released to do so, and I would never want to judge or condemn anybody. You know, it's not my heart. And so, put me behind three pulpits, and seemingly in the natural, it looked like that those churches had a lot going on. You know, they had parking lots were full. They had all the programs. They had the big worship team, the smoke and light show, and all the people in the congregation, the buildings and things. And the Lord said to me, He said, if I put you behind those pulpits, you'll clear the seats. I thought, that's not a good thing for God to tell me that I have that quality. A seat clearer. I want to be a seat adder. But I said, Lord, and I didn't know what He meant at first. And so you have to always try to be humble. I said, Lord, what do I do to change? I don't want to. He said, no. He said, it's not because of anything that you would do except for the fact that you would bring me with you. And He went on to tell me about preaching the Word. And He gave me different subjects about tithing and holiness and relationships and how to raise your kids. But one of the things He said is if you preach about tongues, a lot of these huge churches that are seeker sensitive, you'll clear a lot of them out real fast. You won't hear tongues talked about on the radio. Yet thousands of Christians listen to the radio preaching all the time. You won't hear one thing about it. You won't hear one thing about it. Most of the TV preachers that people watch that have huge audiences and huge followers, you'll never hear one thing about praying in tongues. But is that heaven's take? Is that heaven's purpose? Or is it a different purpose? And man along the way, like man does, is screw things up. Let's find out. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It said, and being assembled together with them. Now look at the next word, commanded. When Jesus commands something, that ought to wake us up. Amen. Every single one of you in here today that's not filled with the Holy Ghost, that word ought to wake you up. Every single one of you who at one time has been filled with the Holy Ghost and is not constantly filling up, this ought to wake you up. Now why is that? Because that word commandment or command, you know, let's face it. Maybe not so much in our camp, which is the Word of Faith camp, which is what is the Word of Faith camp? All the Word of Faith, the true Word of Faith camp is don't believe what the internet says or we're naming and claiming it and just always talking about prosperity. That's the ditch on the Word of Faith. The Word of Faith is you find something in the Word, you actually believe God and you confess for it like Jesus said. That's the Word of Faith. In our camp, maybe we don't emphasize the Ten Commandments very much, but in a lot of denominational circles and a lot of the body of Christ, the Ten Commandments are a holy, holy thing. And I'm not saying they're not, because that's the Word of God. I mean, people get angry when they remove them from schools and from courthouses and things, and people are up in arms and they'll protest and they'll fight over the Ten Commandments. And I'm not saying the Word shouldn't be in schools and things like that, but you know, in reality, Jesus gave us a new commandment. That you love one another. And that's the one we ought to be focusing on, not the 10, because if you'll do the one, it'll fulfill all the 10. Amen. Amen. But my point is that people are huge on those and their commandments. And so those are the sins that we put on a pedestal because they're commandments. Thou shalt not, I command you to not take the Lord's name in vain. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not murder, right? And we, wow, those are big deals. Why are they big deals? Because they're commandments. God commanded something. Well, Jesus is God. And Jesus here, after He has died and rose again, is commanding something. Well, we should give it the same honor, the same reverence and the same respect that we give the Ten Commandments, because it's still a commandment and it's coming from the same source. Well, what does He command? Notice that word is not suggest. Notice that word is not, it'd be a good idea. Hey, this is what I think you should do. No, he was very clear on His wording because He knew it was something that they needed to not be without. He said, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, you have heard of Me. What's that promise? Verse 5 tells us. For John truly baptized with water, But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, the interesting part is, who's he speaking to here? He's speaking to born again believers. People who have received Jesus. Again, you couldn't receive Jesus in a born again fashion until he had once died and rose again. Then you can receive and believe on him, that whosoever believes that Jesus died, you know, call on the name of the Lord, confess that Jesus is Lord, believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead. Well, you can't do that until God raised him from the dead. Well, he'd been raised from the dead here. So he's talking to believers, but Jesus says, yes, you're Christians. Yes, you're heaven bound, but you're lacking something. And I'm commanding you, Christian, child of God, don't leave home without this. Well, what is it? Verse 8 tells us, but you shall receive power. I'll get back to that word at the end of this message in my closing. You shall receive power after. Everybody say after. Yeah. Not before. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So he's telling the people, the reason you need this is because I don't want you powerless. Doesn't mean you won't go to heaven. Like the person years ago here who ran into Pastor Scott Wise, was talking about me, you know, and just bad-mouthing me and saying, you know, Pastor Mike made me speak in tongues. Well, I don't know how to make somebody do that. I wouldn't even know what to do. I mean, do I reach in and twist your vocal cords and move them around and grab your tongue and start wiggling it? Say regular words, then this. Now, that sounds like tongues, right? You do that? No. And Pastor Mike said, you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues or you don't go to heaven. I never said that, and I'm here to say it again to the world. If you don't receive the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you're a Christian, you still go to heaven. Amen? But you don't have power. You don't have power. And, you know, a lot of people lost power this past week. And let me tell you something, it altered their life. Made their life harder. Made their life more difficult. Altered their life. A Christian life without power is an altered life. It's not a more less loved life. It's not a less heaven-bound life. It is a altered life when you take away the power. And Jesus said, you are not getting the power until you wait for the power and receive it. Amen. Now I'll go, when did this happen? Well, Acts chapter 2 is when it happened. Acts chapter 2. Says in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. They're good listeners. Amen? They were good listeners. A lot of people have problems listening and doing. They listened and they did. Abraham heard and obeyed, which caused the blessings to flow and to stay. While Lot took no time to listen, did it his own way, which led to hurt and dismay. Hearing, obeying. They heard and they obeyed, and they're about to get blessed for it. Suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. If you say, why are you being all poetry on us? Well, if you didn't hear Sunday's message, you won't know. You've got to listen to Sunday's message to find out why I was a poet. A rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. But that's not the end of it. And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, if you go to verse 38... Now, I don't have time to take you through the Bible and show you this, but you can get online. There's, I believe in the archives from 2013 to now, there's a couple times I preached on tongues, a series, but then there's also baptism of the Holy Ghost and classes where it clearly explains that they're not separate things. Getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues aren't separate. They are attached and they go together. You are not filled with the Holy Ghost if you're not speaking in tongues. And you can't say I speak in tongues and I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost. They go together. I don't have time to teach that, but it's Bible. There's four or five references where it absolutely says that the only way they knew they were filled with the Holy Ghost, or it was assumed, or you can infer by what the context is, that absolutely they spoke in tongues. Just no question about it. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.'" That's being saved. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Well, when did they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Separate from salvation. Now look at this though, because remember, when you have it in your doctrine and in your mind, and your mind's renewed to the fact that tongues and filled with the Holy Ghost are the same thing, listen to this next verse. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off." That might be South Dayton. "Even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So who's it available to? It's available to everybody. Because think about it. If power is what comes with it, why would God be interested in giving them power that the Bible said you'll receive power to be witnesses unto me? Well, what happens when you're witnesses unto him? People get saved and they miss out on hell. Why would God give them power for the purpose of going out and doing his work, which gets people saved from that hell, when over here in 2018, we need to be witnesses unto him to save people from the same hell that they were going to back then? Why would he give us any less ability or power to work with when he wanted those people saved just as much as he wants the people nowadays saved? That's why when I'm on my walk and I confess my confession list and I'm releasing my faith in my office and pacing the floors, I'll say to the Lord, I'll say, "Father, I thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders, for increased and multiplied manifestations, because I remind you, Lord, that the Bible says that Jesus was followed and believed because of the miracles, signs, and wonders." I say, 8,000 people got born again because of the miracles, signs, and wonders, and you don't love us any less than you loved them. And the miracles, signs, and wonders were for the purpose to get people born again. So if you're going to give Jesus them, if you're going to give Peter them, you're going to give Pastor Mike them and the family churches them. But the promise is for you. It's for everybody. Go to Mark chapter 16 real quick. So Jesus said, don't leave without it. It's not a suggestion. I'm commanding you. And again, we don't have to take time to teach this. But again, we see in the Word that you don't stay filled. It's a continual filling or a continual charging up of oneself. Just like your cell phone, you'll use it all day. And if you don't charge it back up, you're not going to be able to have the same usage out of it the next day. It needs power. Oh, how Christians are limited because they're children of God. They're in the Beloved, but they're powerless people. In a world run by an enemy who's very good at what he does. Stealing, killing, and destroying. He's excellent at it. He's very, very skilled in that profession. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them Pentecostals." These signs shall follow them crazy charismatics. Those Brother Hagin cronies that followed Brother Hagin. "These signs shall follow them that believe." If you can believe it, they'll follow you. Amen. "In my name they'll cast out devils." So who's it available for? Them that believe. "They shall speak with new tongues." Who? Them that believe. "As many that call on the name of the Lord." Acts chapter 2 tells us. So what am I saying is, when Jesus told the disciples, don't leave home without it, you need power, he wasn't just telling the disciples. He was telling as many that would call on his name. Isn't it interesting? It's such a taboo topic, but yet here Jesus said we'll do it, the believers. And he commanded us, because the only way you can speak in tongues is to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, don't you dare go forth, Christian, without getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It's important to him. He knows. Isn't it interesting? We read about in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, we don't need to go there, but it says when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. That means they got born again. They received the word of God. They sent Peter and John down to them. Why? That they might get them filled with the Holy Ghost. The first thing the apostles did when they heard that a group of people got saved, they said, got to get them that Holy Ghost business. Jesus said, we can't leave home without it. But yet Christians are going out there in the world. I'll preach on this stuff and people will leave it at the pulpit. There's people that I've preached to for years that still are not filled with the Holy Ghost. And I tell them every time, don't leave this at the pulpit. Jesus commanded it. Zoop, zoop. Different types of ground. Only one out of four people that hear the word of God actually do it. Amen. That's what Jesus said. That's the kind of results he had. Don't be one out of the four. Don't be three out of the four. Be the one out of the four. First thing they did, Peter and John, get word. Samaria is saved. People are getting born again down there. Go get them power. They're Christians, but they need power. Yeah. Acts chapter 19, it says, while Paul and Apollos passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. Paul said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? The first question Paul asked, now these people actually weren't saved. He thought they were. So he got them saved before he got them filled. But he came across people who he thought had been born again. They were just of John's baptism. But they needed to get baptized in the name of Jesus and receive Jesus. But he thought they were saved. And the first thing Paul asked him in Acts chapter 19 was, have you received this Holy Ghost business? Did you get the power? The first thing he said to them. This is not a taboo topic. The church world has made it a taboo topic. And I believe it's because the pressure to keep seats filled, because the Holy Ghost spooks people out, because the things of the Spirit do not make sense to the mind and the flesh. And when the mind and the flesh, are uncomfortable, we tend to push those things away and run from those things. Our mind doesn't like not knowing, and our flesh doesn't like being uncomfortable. It's still why people won't just raise their hands and worship God. Because their flesh is louder than their spirit. It's the truth. Why people won't shout out to God, because their flesh is louder than their spirit. Years of being in the same church and hearing about what God likes for worship, and people still don't do it. Say, what's the big deal raising my hand? He likes it. That's what the big deal is. Amen. That's what he said to do. What's the big deal about praising him out loud out of my mouth? What's the big deal is he likes it and says that's what we're supposed to do. But again, people's flesh gets in the way. And I believe that the devil has gotten into preachers' minds and gotten into Christians' minds. It's that Holy Ghost business. That's for a certain group of people. And even within this certain group of people, let's not talk about too much. I mean, let's think about it. I'm telling you, I used to be there, so I don't know if you've ever been there before. But I would think, oh man, I'm nervous to invite people to church. What if Pastor Michael talks about tongues today? Has that thought ever crossed your mind? Or what if there's actually a move of the Holy Ghost and people dance and run and shout? Oh no! And the devil has given us these thoughts. Yet in Acts chapter 2, there was a move of God where they were must have been doing some crazy stuff because they accused him of being drunk. What were they doing? Dancing, rejoicing. The Holy Ghost came, running around, speaking in this weird language. They said, they're drunk. And you know what it did? It didn't lead to the church decreasing. It led to 3,000 people getting born again. But the devil will give us thoughts. Oh man, I'm going to invite people. It's like, that's why I preface what that Easter service is about. Don't worry. We're going to just talk about Jesus, not tongues. You can invite people. Yet Jesus said this is what they need. First thing after they get born again. Right? Just invite people to church and let the Holy Ghost and trust your pastor to hear from God. If he can't trust me, why are you here? Right? I mean, we want the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, you're welcome here. Amen. You're welcome here. Glory to God. First thing, go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. So we got Jesus' take on it. Now, I don't know. I call Jesus a man, and I say that lightly in the sense that I know he was God on the earth, but he was also fully man on the earth. Born a little baby, you know, he cried. Jesus pooped in his diaper. He did. He was a baby. Spit up. Mary had him on her lap. I love thinking about this because it's amazing that he humbled himself to that point. Yeah. I'm not trying to make light or make fun. I know it's funny thinking about it, but he humbled himself to become a little baby that would sit on his mom's lap and have her burp him. It's amazing. Laying there completely helpless, humbled himself. My God. Hallelujah. He was 100% man on the earth. He felt it. He cried. He was hungry. He got tired. He rested. He laughed. He was full of joy. He was a man. Praise God. I dare say the greatest man that's ever walked the face of planet earth. But if I was going to say who's the second greatest man to ever walk the face of the planet, it would be no doubt the Apostle Paul. He did more for God than we'll do in 20 lifetimes. Was used more of God. Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Was given the revelation that we're still feeding off of righteousness, of authority of the believer. Was schooled by Jesus face to face. Was used in paved roads that now we walk on that are smooth and we receive what God's given us. He was a mighty man of God. And the greatest man ever said, you're going to speak in tongues and don't you dare leave without it. That should be enough. But then the second greatest man ever, this is what I call the tongues billboard. He stands up and he doesn't say, let's keep this quiet. Let's not talk too much about this. No. He declared it to a whole church. I'm thankful that I pray in tongues so much that all your praying in tongues combined doesn't even equal how much I do it. What was he saying? It's important. If you think about the success and victory in Jesus' life, the success and the victory in Paul's life, and Jesus said this, and then Paul said, do this. We ought to be thinking, there must be something to this praying in tongues more than a little shalababa in the shower. Yeah. Amen. Paul wasn't just shalababbing it for 2 minutes in the shower. He was praying in tongues everywhere he went. Why? He knew something about it. There was power that was generated. Amen. You can plug your cell phone in for 10 minutes and you'll get a little bit of a charge. But if you plug that cell phone in for an hour, you got more power. Amen. It's just the truth. Why would he do it all the time if it wasn't necessary? He'd find something else to fill his time with, because I'm sure he wasn't a time waster. Too much to do for Jesus. He said, I'm praying in tongues all the time. Why? He knew he needed it. He's constantly staying charged. Amen. So Jesus said something major about it. Paul said something major about it. The first thing the apostles do, Peter and John and Paul, three of the heavyweights in the body of Christ, can't wait to meet them all. Amen. They said, those testified that when people got born again, they said, we got to get our brothers and sisters power. Amen. Let's take a little fun here and read some things here. I've read this to you before, but I love sharing these things. John G. Lake was a minister out in Seattle, Washington. He did spend some time in Africa in the early 1900s. Listen to John G. Lake's statistics for ministry. Are you ready? 1 million people attributed to him getting them born again. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Amen. 1 million people. 625 churches were raised up under this apostle. I've got two. I'm coming for you. 623 more to go. Amen. I'm just kidding. Of course, you know, I'm just messing around. 1,250 preachers raised up under this man. In 5 years, just five of his ministry, he had over 100,000 confirmed medical healings. So much so, you can look this up, that the U.S. government during that time, according to statistics, declared Seattle, Washington, the healthiest city in all of America. The power of God had hit the great Northwest. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pretty good resume, wouldn't you say? Jesus had a good resume. What'd he say about tongues? He said, you'll do it and don't leave home without it. Paul had a pretty good resume. What'd he say? I do it all the time. John G. Lake, 625 churches, 1,250 preachers, 100,000 medical healings in 5 years. He said, the making of my ministry or that resume was speaking in tongues. Whew. That's what he said. Kind of goes along with what Paul said. I do it all the time. Just want you to know, I do this all the time. Kind of what Jesus said, don't leave home without it. Praise God. Amen. Healthiest city in America. Let's make Cattaraugus and Chocolate County the healthiest counties in America. We could do it. If we get hungry enough, we could do it. Smith Wigglesworth, great apostle of faith in England in the early 1900s. He could barely read and write. He was uneducated. To give you an idea, in one letter, he misspelled the Holy Spirit seven or eight different times in one letter. You'd think you'd just by chance get it right one of the eight times. Right? I'm not making fun of him or picking on him, but you just think like by chance, you'd remember that you spelled it one way. Does anyone else not find the humor in that? Like eight times in one letter you misspelled the Holy Spirit? Like you, even if you misspelled it wrong two times, you'd at least think you'd get it the same two times, the same wrong two times. Eight times misspelled the Holy Spirit in one letter. Just to give you an idea. He said, I'm one of the biggest conundrums that there is. So there's no reason I should be doing what I'm doing. But he was a man, an apostle of faith, who had many signs, wonders, and miracles. And the thing that I can point to the most about signs, wonders, and miracles is he had over 20 confirmed people that were raised from the dead in his ministry. Now, to give you a little idea, I didn't know, Sarah wouldn't be here tonight, I knew Courtney wouldn't be here tonight. I didn't know if Michelle was going to be able to be here tonight. And so I said, made some mention to Jeff. I said, tonight I'm going to have to sing by myself. And he said, oh, Pastor, if you need me to sing, I'll sing. I said, well, you know what? It would be good to start a raising from the dead ministry in our church. And if you start singing, brother, I think people are going to start dropping out. And then we'll start getting, that'll bring the miracles right there. Amen. But I don't know how many number he had, but I'll tell you what, one would have been enough. 20. He's the one that woke up in the middle of the night and the manifested presence of the devil was in his room. And he rolled over and looked at the manifested presence of the devil. And most of us would have needed a change of underwear. Let's be honest. And he said to him, oh, it's just you, and rolled back over and went to sleep. He knew his authority. A lady on a bus. There was a dog that followed this lady to the bus, and she kept saying, go home, go home. And the dog kept coming back, and she kept saying, go home, go home. And finally she said, now I told you, you go home now. And the dog scurried away with the tail. And Smith Wigglesworth smacked his leg and said, that's how we ought to be towards the devil. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Just tell him where to go. Amen. Hallelujah. People would see him, and they would think that observers would watch him minister to people, and he would absolutely at times downright slug somebody, because that's what the Spirit of God told him. If they had a growth or something going on in their body, he'd say, oh my gosh, your hammer, and the people would get miraculously born again. Or not born again, but healed. Miraculously healed. Praise God. Okay, so that's a pretty good resume. He said, the secret, I like to know secrets, of my success has been praying in tongues. That's four mighty, mighty men of God. Jesus, Paul, John G. Lake, and Smith Wigglesworth all pointed back to speaking in tongues. Amen. Brother Hagin. Woo, we love Brother Hagin, don't we? Someone said to me, you are a follower of Brother Hagin. I said, well, sort of. I said, I follow what he says. said, all you do is talk about Brother Hagin. I said, that's because I have never found one thing the man said that wasn't biblical. In all his books and all his teachings, he was so balanced, he was safe is what he was. And it's not the man we worship, it's the revelation that we worship. He was so sweet. You know, people would criticize him so bad. He'd never say names from the pulpit. People just so nasty to him and call him out, say nasty things about him. He just stayed the course, ran his race, received his rewards in heaven. Hallelujah. Started Rhema Bible Training Center, the school I went to, you know, that's responsible for raising up hundreds, if not thousands, of churches around the world, Bible training centers around the world. Thousands of preachers and converts and different things come from his ministry. Signs, wonders, and miracles. He is the prophet that was used to usher in to get ready the second coming of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was the first. Brother Hagin was the second. Spirit of God said that. In fact, Brother Hagin, his mom was told that you're supposed to name him John. For as John the Baptist was the forerunner to my first coming, your son will be the forerunner to my second coming. Well, she got scared when she heard the voice of God, and she ended up naming him Ken. But then she never told a soul. And Brother Hagin preached on it and was brought it, it came out that I was supposed to be called, my mom was supposed to be called John. And she pulled him aside and said, I've never told you that story. He said, I know, Mom. I want you to know that the Holy Ghost told me. And it doesn't matter that you name me Ken. That's not what's important. So she was all worried that she messed up by not naming him John. Because the Spirit of God said, name him John. But the point was that the Holy Ghost used him, and he corrected so many wrong doctrines. He wrote so many books that have gone over the world that we're still living off that revelation and his doctrines, which are just the Bible, obviously. Listen to what he said. Well, just so you, let me take this a step further. You're not in this church tonight receiving the word of God from your pastor without Brother Hagin. There are no family churches without Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin was Pastor Michael's spiritual father in the faith. And without the influence of Brother Hagin, there's no Dr. Dufresne. There's no Pastor Nancy. There's no Kenneth Copeland. There's no, just keep going down the list of these mighty, there's no Durants. There's no Reverend Greer. There's no Pastor Webb. All these people from one man's faithfulness. Brother Hagin said this, the greatest things that ever happened to me in my walk with God, the greatest healing miracles, financial breakthroughs, and deliverances came after I spent a prolonged length of time praying in other tongues. That's five mighty men of God that declare the importance of praying in tongues. Lester Sumrall, who was he? He was a spiritual son to Smith Wigglesworth. He's the one that's responsible. He's the apostle of faith who started all the works over in the Philippines, got many people saved and delivered over there. Does anybody know the size of the building he was supposed to build in the Philippines? 10,000? Was it an auditorium? Was it a tent? What was it? Do you know? Anyways, he was supposed to build a 10,000 seat place over in the Philippines. Didn't have a ministry over there, was just had been led to go over there. The Lord said, construct or put up or buy or whatever, some 10,000 seats. He said, Lord, I don't have any people. You don't go building 10,000 seat places with no people. But the Lord instructed him to do it, so he did it. And he got word of a young girl who was demon-possessed in a prison in the Philippines. So much so that the fame of this girl went out and the news spread abroad of her of how demonically possessed that she was and how people could not go near her and how she just would cuss them out and become violent and you just could not have anything to do with her. He got word of it and had the leading to go there, got in that prison cell with her, and she started cussing them out and the devil manifested. And he cast that devil out of that girl. And her life became so changed that the news spread abroad that this girl was different because everybody knew about her. And that filled the auditorium. Amen. A miracle, a sign, and a wonder. He's the one that would go visit Smith Wigglesworth in his end days when nobody would go see Smith when he was older. I'll tell you what, we will not dishonor our past. And we will not dishonor ministry gifts. That's why I'm always going to elevate Pastor Michael. I'm always going to elevate Brother Hagin. We will not be dishonorable. Nobody would go see Smith Wigglesworth. They thought he's washed up, it's over. And Lester Sumrall would still go see him. And one of the last times he visited him, might have been the last time he visited him, he wanted to get that anointing that Smith Wigglesworth carried. And he said that Smith Wigglesworth just grabbed him and started to hug him and start prophesying over him. He said tears were flowing and his tears were just, what a sweet moment, falling on him and transferred that anointing. And Lester Sumrall walked in that anointing, in that power. You should really study up on some of these people and read about them. They said, Dr. Sumrall, how often do you pray in tongues? His answer, when I'm not preaching. That sounds like Apostle Paul. I thank my God I pray in tongues more than y'all. What's that, 6 testimonies of mighty men of God? Well, we don't want to leave the ladies out. Pastor Nancy Dufresne. Woo! If there's a better teacher of the Word of God on planet Earth right now, I don't know it, than her. I'm just telling you, as your pastor, if there's a better teacher that stands in that office that can teach the Word of God better than her, I don't know of anyone on planet Earth that's better than her, more anointed than her. Now she walks in that office of a prophet, praise God. She got teamed up with Dr. Dufresne, 1984, I believe it was. Was married to him until Dr. Dufresne went home in 2013. You can check my math, but I believe they were married for about 29 years. And they were called the Dream Team. And they've changed the world, praise God. Went forth and ministered as a duo in power. Back when he was alive, she'd teach in the morning and he'd come and flow in the Holy Ghost at night. And my life has been changed. Pastor Michael's life, Pastor Tim's life, all the ministers, your lives have been changed through her ministry. And yet, here she was, a denominational gal who was in a wrong relationship, an abusive relationship that ended. And her life's in turmoil and she doesn't know what to do, except she knew to pray in tongues. The Bible says when you don't know what to do, pray in tongues. That's one of the benefits of it. Because there's times, situations come, we don't know how to figure it out. We don't know what to pray for. Just pray in tongues. She took the next 3 weeks to pray in tongues for 3 hours a day. She said it was as dry as can be. There was no anointing. There was no stirring to do it. There wasn't no presence, no goosebumps. But see, when you get on a treadmill and you don't feel like it, if you'll do the work, you'll still get the benefit. Amen, you will. And that's what she did. She just prayed in tongues, prayed in tongues. Well, the Bible says, see, some of you haven't got this revelation yet. Because some of your future is unknown. You got decisions to make. But you just go along in life. Just, oh, it'll just fall in my lap. No, it won't. When you pray in unknown tongues, you pray out mysteries. What's a mystery? It's things you don't know. Change tonight. And so she prayed in tongues, and she's praying out the path and the plan of God, and things are being rearranged, and things are being, it's given. See, when you pray, it unties God's hands and allows Him to move things and put the pieces in place. And shortly after that prolonged period of praying in tongues, she meets Ed Dufresne. And if you know their story, Dr. Dufresne, basically after he met her, was like, listen, let's not waste our time. You either marry me or get going. That was Dr. Dufresne. I wish you could have heard him, those of you that haven't. And been in his services. He was like a spiritual cowboy, man. Just tearing the devil up. Pew, pew, pew. Yes. Amen. I love that man. He would have loved President Trump. He probably would have wore the red hat. He would have. Someone that had a backbone and someone, well, say what you want, but I'll tell you what, the man don't back down. I mean, the man's got, he shoots from the mouth, shoots from the hip from his mouth, but he don't back down. He ain't afraid of things. America needs a backbone. Amen. Amen. And Dr. Dufresne would have loved him. Oh, man. Loved him, you know. Not loved everything, you know, that President Trump says. Please don't misunderstand me. I understand that sometimes he's very inappropriate. And sometimes it makes you shriek a little bit. But the thing I love about him is he don't care. He just goes forward. America's been a wuss for too long. Amen. We are America. We ought to be respected and feared throughout the world because we are the greatest nation on planet Earth. Amen. It's the truth. Hallelujah. We need to be praying for him. I mean, he needs a lot of prayer. Be praying for our president. Amen. Hallelujah. Be praying for him. And she beats Dr. Dufresne and they become a dream team and her life gets turned around and they start traveling and walking and flowing in the power of God. And you know what she attributes that meeting and that setup and that divine connection? To that time she spent praying in tongues. Now, of course, I've been building up to save the best for last. Jesus. Paul, John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, Brother Hagin, Lester Summerall, Pastor Nancy, and now, what is your pastor? For those of you that don't know what I'm doing on live stream, I just pointed to myself. Of course you know that's major tongue-in-cheek. I know you love me and you're glad and you honor me, but I am not at their level. And I'm not saying I won't get there because we're always just believing God to go higher and higher. So I'm not going to put a cap on anything. But I certainly am not even close. It's like John the Baptist said, I'm not even worthy to tie your shoe. Amen. I mean that humbly, you know. But I say that out of funniness. But as your pastor, it's important that you know that the second greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life, number one was getting born again. The second greatest thing was not my family, the birth of my children, things like that. It was getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Because without the Holy Ghost, all those other things never would have happened. The churches wouldn't be here. The family wouldn't be there. Amen? It's true. The greatest thing that ever happened besides being born again was praying in tongues. And I could go into stories of times I prayed in tongues and the Lord revealed things to me. Revealed this work to me while praying on Jim's property in the orchard, cherry orchard, picking up brush. Just praying in tongues all day long with God. And he drops in my spirit, next fall you will start a church in South Dayton, New York. Do you know the benefits that was to know a year in advance? To start releasing faith, to start believing God. It was awesome. Praying in tongues in the parking lot at Jamestown Church. God, I'm lost. I know I'm called to the ministry, but I have no idea in what capacity. And the Lord tells me through praying out mysteries, you're going to pastor. You know what a benefit that was? Praying in tongues, seeking God, and then being in a service and the Lord saying, go to Rhema. Direction for me. Whew. I mean, glory to God. It ought to tell you something about all these people that are pointing to this. It should not be taboo in our church. We should not worry about if Pastor Mike talks about it. And then I'll close with this. Jesus said you'll receive power. Now here's what you have to understand about that word power. This is either what you're going to have or you're not going to have going forth as a Christian. He said you receive power. That word power in the Greek is the word dynamis, is what it looks like, but it's really pronounced dunamis. It's where we get that root word for dynamite. Well, it means ability, power, strength, and miraculous power. Jesus said, if you go forth without it, you're going forth without my ability, without my supernatural strength, without my miraculous power. Why on earth would you want to do that? Life's hard enough. Life is a challenge when the power's on. When you turn the power on. You could go through your life at home and never turn a light on for the rest of your life, never put a flashlight, never put a candle on, and life would go on, but you would make life very difficult for yourself. When you don't avail yourself to this, you're going out into the dark. Why? Life brings you challenges when your lights are on. Why make it harder for yourself? Power. Now think about this. The greatest example I can think of is no power in power is Peter. Peter in Luke 22, before he's born again, before he's received power, denies Jesus when they're all sitting around the fire there and they take Jesus away and three people say to Peter, Peter, you knew Jesus, didn't you? And he said, I didn't know him. 3 years he spent with his, 3 years he gave his life to this man, loved this man. Cut off someone's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane because he was so mad when they put their hands on Jesus and they took him away. And then all of a sudden Peter got scared and saw what they're doing to Jesus. I don't want that to happen to me. And one of the people that asked him, the Bible calls a damsel, and if you look that up, it means a young maid or a young girl. A young girl asks Peter, or says to Peter, you were with him, weren't you? He says, no, not me. You know what that's called? That's called wussing out. I'm not being down on Peter, I'm just stating the facts. Peter wussed out. Should have said, that, you're darn right I was with him. I love him and I'll die with him till the end. But he didn't. He said, no, don't associate me with him. I don't want anything he's getting. Goes from that place to Acts chapter 2. The Holy Ghost comes upon him. And what comes on you when you get the Holy Ghost? The power. It's tongue-talking Peter now. And the crowd, the masses, are accusing them of being drunk and crazy. They're criticizing them. They're coming against them. Well, if Peter's going to weasel out to a little girl, what's he going to do when the crowds? You're crazy. You're nuts. What are you doing? Shut up. You drunk person. Get out of here. What's Peter going to do? Well, the old Peter would have said, let's just be quiet and take this somewhere else. That's not what he did. He stood up and said, these people aren't drunk as you suppose. This was that was prophesied by the prophet Joel saying, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And he went on to preach a sermon that led to 3,000 people getting born again. The same Peter who was in the temple when they walked by the lame man that had been lame since birth. Peter and John were there and they supernaturally, miraculously got him healed. The guy walking, leaping, and praising God no doubt drew a crowd. They came in and they said, what is this? And Peter stood up and said, I'll tell you what this is. This man is healed through faith in the name of Jesus. And he preached Jesus. And 5,000 people got born again. Amen. The same Peter who denied Jesus to a little girl because he's afraid of what's going to happen to him. Go to John 21:19 and we'll close with this. John 21:19. Or let's go to verse 18. He just gets done telling Peter, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And then look what he says to Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girdest yourself, or you put your own belt on. And you walked where you wanted to. Basically, you did your own thing. You got up, you dressed yourself, and you went where you wanted to go. But when you shall be old, now he's prophesying about his future, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another will gird or bind you, and they will carry you where you wouldn't want to go. Well, what's he talking about? Verse 19 tells us, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Jesus just prophesied to Peter how he's going to die. You're going to stretch forth your hands. What's that sound like? The cross. And be taken where you don't want to go in the natural. Just the same way Jesus didn't want to go there in the natural. But if you study church history, and you go back and you study from the times of how did Peter die, he certainly died by crucifixion. Jesus wouldn't lie. He died by crucifixion because of his belief in Jesus. If there's any time to deny that you know Jesus between a little girl or getting ready to be crucified on the cross, I would think that the flesh and the mind would be more geared to deny it When you're facing a death of crucifixion, as nasty and as horrible as it was. But he didn't deny Jesus at that time. In fact, church history tells us that Peter, when they went to crucify him, said, "So be it, but don't do it until you flip me upside down on this cross, for I am not worthy to die the way he did." Whoo, I get chills. He didn't wuss out. He didn't, "Oh no, I renounce everything I know." He said, "Nope, I believe it, and you can do this to me, but make sure you flip me upside down and make it even worse for me." How did he go from a little lamb to a roaring lion? Pre-power, post-power. The Holy Ghost, if you'll do it with all these ministers, what Jesus said, what Paul said, all these ministers, it will change your world. It will change your life. Amen? So I implore you tonight, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, come forward, I'll lay hands on you. Say, how do you receive it? The same way you receive every single promise of God. You ask and you receive it. Amen. That's all you do. Amen. You ask and receive it. Say, what about this? Stop getting in your head. Just ask and receive it. And I'll lay hands on you. And I'll ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And you'll ask Him to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And you'll declare what you believe. And then you'll open your mouth and tongues will flow out of your belly. Now that doesn't mean that the way it has to happen. But that's sometimes it's easy that way because there's an anointing in the room. I got filled in my bedroom in Water Street in Fredonia when I was going to college. I simply said, "Father," I did what the Bible said, ask and receive. "I believe this gift. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Ghost now in Jesus' name." And I opened my mouth by faith and the utterance was there. And I spoke out language and words that I'd never heard before. Spirit words. And now I stand up here to testify with Jesus and Paul and Pastor Nancy and John G. Lake and Lester Summerall, Smith Wigglesworth that it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me besides salvation. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the word tonight. We love you and glorify you. Oh, Lord, we got our marching orders tonight. We have been stirred up in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you. I know for a fact, as I look around, that every single person in here is born again. But, Lord, I don't know who might be listening. If you're listening right now or in the future, and you say, "Oh, man, I want this power," but the first step is you got to get Jesus. You can't be filled with the power until you accepted Jesus. And accepting Jesus is easy. There's two qualifications, and I'll just go tell you what they are real quick. The first qualification is to accept in Jesus and receive in Him and go into heaven. Number one, you have to believe in Him. The Bible says if you believe in Jesus, you will not perish but have everlasting life. You have to believe that He was real. You have to believe that He died and rose again. You might not understand it in your head. It might be uncomfortable to your flesh to believe something like this, but in the heart, your heart of hearts, you know that man was real. I just know. I can't explain it, but I know it. I know He died and rose again. Again, you don't have to explain it or justify it in your mind. Just in your heart, you know. That's belief. With the heart, man believes, the Bible says. The second qualification is you have to receive Him. Believing on Him is not enough. The devil believes in Him, but the devil will never go to heaven because the devil will never receive Him. The second step to receiving Jesus is to invite Him in or receive Him. The Bible says He stands at the door and knocks. Well, He's a gentleman. And when somebody knocks on the door, they're asking to be let in. But He's a gentleman. He doesn't just barge in. He's not an intruder. You have to ask Him in your heart. So if you're listening, you say, I do believe in Jesus, but I've never officially asked Him in my heart. You have to do that. He'll stand there and knock until you invite Him in. It doesn't matter that you've gone to church or that you're a good person, that you even believe that He's real. You got to invite Him in. And so all you simply have to do is say, "Lord, I do believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. I receive you, Jesus." And if you prayed that, praise God. You simply send us an email, give me a phone call. Let us know and we'll get you hooked up in a Bible teaching church where you can learn all that God has for you. Right now, let's just lift our hands to the sky and let's worship Him. But if you pray in tongues, go ahead and pray in tongues. It's not a wrong thing to do that. We preached on it. Just go ahead and pray and praise Him in tongues. If you're here tonight and you've never been filled and you want to be filled, come forward and we'll lay hands on you. And you'll walk out of here a changed person. But I do encourage you, if you don't come forward tonight, praise God, brother. I appreciate your boldness. If you decide to not come forward tonight, Make sure you don't leave this at the altar. What do I mean by that? That you never avail yourself of this. Let's just keep worshiping Him. Just go ahead and praise Him. Go ahead and praise Him. Hallelujah. We worship You. We worship You and glorify You. We worship You and glorify You. We worship You and glorify. Jake, can you put on, go to artists? I think there should be Marty Blackwelder. Is there something from him on there? Appreciate you, brother. I'm proud of you. Anybody else want to receive? I don't know if it's on there or not. Marty Blackwelder. Do you see all the different artists? Let me show you how to do it here. You go to library. Okay, he's not on here. So I'm going to just play this song right now. Since he's not on there. Just play it low, okay? Thank you. Father, we worship You tonight. Praise You. I'm going to turn my mic off here. Connor, I'm so...
You're my beloved, You're my bride. To sing over You is my delight. Come away with me, my love. Under my mercy, come.
Let's just worship God in tongues. Connor, you can just pray in tongues in your seat with everybody else now. You don't need anybody to lay hands on you. Otra sete de rota sete te. Otra seta de se tre bese breme toto. Otra sete de so tropo so proto. You can turn that song. Kim Lai, would you put up 1 Corinthians 14:14? I want to not only help Connor, but I want to help all of us here tonight. Because one of the things I hear from people all the time is they'll say, I don't want to pray in tongues because when I hear myself doing it, it trips me up because I don't understand. It sounds like I'm just making it up. It's gibberish. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, there it is, unknown. It means it's not French, it's not German, it's not English, because those might be unknown to me, but they're not unknown to the Germans and the French and the English. And then sometimes I don't even know what I'm speaking, when I'm speaking English. If I pray in an unknown tongue, look at this now, my spirit prays. But my understanding, what's that? Your mind is unfruitful. That means it does not know what you're saying. So when you're praying in tongues and the devil's telling you, you're just making it up, you're just making it up, that's just a lie. The Bible says you're not supposed to know. It's unknown. No one's ever heard it before. Praise God. Let's just pray in tongues for a little bit. Otra bate serro tosa taramete. Dora madese drenga toscotro. You don't need a feeling to do this, by the way. You don't need an unction to do this. You can just do it, praise God. Rabetese treba dosca trasete. So many people are waiting for something to push them into it or give me a feeling. No, nope, just by faith do it, glory to God. Rabatese to romota tasha tretete. Rabadeso tora matisa trake teso trosata. Rabadesa daso to. Ora masse teso tosca trabedeso tora madisata. Lendesco torata basetelo. Yesa la mata la sende corto sotro botasa. Rete seda le senda la tasoto. Ora madasete. Ora madasete, ora madasete sotro momoto do sotro, ora momomomoto, ora momomamada, essa drede seblebe, boto toso broto so, rate sete, and the Lord says, just watch me, I'm gonna do it. 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 Vata seta no sota de. Ora mate sete de. Lota seta de seta na masate. Londa sede, londa sede, londa sede. La de sedo, loda sede, loda sede. Say, what's that pertain to? Whatever you're believing him for, whatever you're believing him for, whatever you're believing him for. The Bible said Abraham believed God. If you'll give God your belief, he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. He said, just watch. Just watch. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Just watch. Oh, we praise you, Father. We glorify you and magnify you. You'll bring it to pass. 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 We worship you tonight. We praise you, Father, and glorify you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We'll see you Sunday at 10. You are dismissed.
We got the power. We're not in defeat. Risen with Jesus, taking our seat. We have dominion. That's the key. We're taking our authority. Satan wishes that you didn't know. When Jesus came and stripped him, he put on a show. He's not as powerful as you might think. He's like a lion, but he's got no teeth. 'Cause we've got the power. We're not in defeat. Risen with Jesus, taking our seat. We have dominion, that's the key. We're taking our authority. Bestowed authority and righteousness. Don't be satisfied doing without. You ought to take your place and give him a shout. 'Cause we've got the power. We're not in defeat. Risen with Jesus, taking our seat. We have dominion, that's the key. We're taking our authority. We've got the power. People know we're loved. A flow of combo, of combo, of combo, of combo.